Back now to our coverage of casualties in Iraq. On a recent night, we paid a visit to the primary port of entry for servicemen and women wounded in Iraq and elsewhere, Andrews Air Force Base, outside Washington, D.C. Under a full moon and a cold winter sky, a C-17 transport jet taxis off the runway, just in from Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. As the hulking gray plane comes to a stop on the tarmac, a line of buses and ambulances rolls out to meet it. As the rear door is slowly lowered, the flight's mission becomes clear. The plane is loaded with men and women wounded or hurt while deployed overseas, mostly in Iraq. Inside, gurneys are stacked like triple-decker bunk beds. The plane is carrying 42 servicemen and women. Many have already spent weeks in American military hospitals overseas. Others were injured only days ago. Regardless, they're back on American soil. First off the plane, the ambies, short for ambulatories. They're able to walk, though many are wobbly and quite obviously in pain. The rest must be carried off the plane on gurneys. The most seriously wounded will be sent to intensive care units at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, a short bus ride away in Washington, D.C. The rest will spend between 1 and 4 days here at Andrews, where they're assessed, stabilized, and then sent on to military hospitals or home for convalescence.
Welcome home, man.
Since the war in Iraq began in March, transport planes have been carrying wounded troops back to Andrews several times a week. They've treated more than 6,000. Like this one, the homecomings are usually late at night and always without fanfare. No color guard, no marching band, just a heartfelt welcome home from the men and women who will take care of them at this medical way station.
How's it feel to be back home? You really want to get home. You want to get home, right?
The wounded are taken by bus to a squat brown building on base. When they arrive, they disembark onto a specially built ramp. Again, the troops who can walk do so, gingerly down the black metal slant. Their shoulders hunch, their steps tentative, young men now moving with a senior citizen's gait. The majority don't want to talk to reporters. A few are visibly peeved to even see the press.
There's some also other restricted areas which are off limits.
And as they sit through yet another briefing, the medical staff attends to an older soldier. He's balding and has gray flecks in his mustache. As they transfer him from a gurney to a wheelchair, he yelps out in pain.
Photos are strictly prohibited in the CASIF.
The troops settle into a community center rec room that's been converted into a medical staging facility. The ballroom now serves as sleeping quarters. Cots are lined up beneath a constellation of chandeliers. Through an archway, a large television blares round the clock, usually tuned to sports, sometimes news. And there's an abundant display of comfort food of the commercial variety. Chips Ahoy cookies and big bowls of fresh fruit, things they may have missed while in Iraq. The troops are cared for by the 459th Aeromedical Squadron, a reserve unit made up of doctors, nurses, and support techs. All do their best to make the troops comfortable.
As a physician, you're trained for some of it, but some of you just really sort of learn how to handle as you go.
Flight Surgeon Jimmy Drummond has been with the 459th for almost a year. He normally practices medicine in Baltimore, and like most of the staff, he's had ample experience in emergency medicine. But treating the wounds of war is something altogether different. Dr. Drummond tries to give them hope.
But I can tell you it's been a couple of times where you just find yourself at a loss for words and fighting back tears and things like that, hearing some of the stories because you know it's going to be a long haul to get back.
Around 1:15 a.m., when vital signs have been checked and pain medication replenished, the lights are dimmed. Some head for the cots, others for the payphones. A few stay up to watch TV, though they seem to be staring past it. The troops are grateful to have their lives and cherish the chance to see loved ones. But the mood is anything but cheery. If anything, it's pensive. The patients are tired and in pain. Here at Andrews, with their feet now planted on American soil, the reality of their recovery begins to sink in. And along with that, the realization that this is just one brief stop on what for most will be a long and challenging journey back to health.